proxy war is being fought by their puppets and their stooges in coon society. That's who's doing it. White supremacy is fighting the African. White supremacy is using their stooges and coons to fight the African. They are using people inside the African race to fight against African people. That's what's going on right now. And the question is, what are you going to do about this? Are you just going to sit back and watch it? Are you going to sit back and watch as we deteriorate? You know, the reason that we have to suffer these indignities is because we are not doing what we could be doing. We are not doing everything that we could be doing. I want you to take a look at the face of BD and tell her that you're doing everything you could be doing. Phone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code to the Black Channel Radio program. As I think about the example of a woman like Ruby Dee, and I think about her life, I can't help but think that the children and grandchildren have been transformed by the bastard baby maker generation into sluts and whores who disgrace the name and who spit on the sacrifice and the decency of a woman like Ruby Dee. They spit on her. And are you just going to sit back here and allow them to do that? You're going to just sit back and let them spit on this woman. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to do that? When you open up your Facebook feeds and some jigaboon clowning coon is showing a black female sitting at a college graduation with her cap and gown on and her breasts up and out, smiling big for the cameras because as a representative of black women, she thinks her job is all about me and attention for me. I don't care if I disgrace Ruby Dee. Damn Ruby Dee. I am an attention whore and I am here to destroy the image of black women around the world. They're here to destroy us. They exist to kill us. And the males who sit up and, oh yes, that's the comedic queen. Yes, that's our African goddess, naked. The only time they can talk about black women is naked. Those same low-life, cowardly, crawling dog niggas can't tell you a damn thing that they've done for black women to build anything for black women. The only time that they want to talk about black women is when they're naked. Now then they can raise their voices. Then they can be heard. Then they can be seen. But when it's time to talk about what they've built for black women, meh. Not really feeling that, meh. Not trying to build anything for black women. And they are spitting on the grave and spitting on the dead body of Ruby Dee and Rosa Parks and Ida B. Wells and Harriet Tubman. And I want to know tonight, no bull crap. I want to know tonight, who's going to stand up for her? I want to know who's going to stand up against those savages who would dare to try to say that that's African, flopping out your breasts and smiling for a damn Facebook selfie, exposing your bodies to represent black, saying that you represent black women. Who's going to stand up for Ruby Dee and say that that represents black women? Who's going to do it? Where are the black women to stand up and rage against that? Where are you? Who's standing up for Ruby Dee and speaking for her now that she cannot speak for herself? I want to know where the young black women are who are going to stand up for our African womanhood. Where are you? Where are you to strike down those whores and harlots and concubines who defecate on Africa? The white man's bedwench. You talk about
Queen Nzinga, Asantewa, the Makedas. But where are you? What are you doing to fight for their names? Standing up for our proud black womanhood. Where are they? Where are our warrior queens today to strike down those whores and prostitutes and harlots? Where are you today? Where are you today? Cowering in your corners, that's where you are. Looking to someone else to stand up and represent black womanhood, that's where you are. You're a disgrace, you're liars and cowards. And if there's a hell, you're worthy of it, desecrating the memory of our proud black womanhood and daring to call yourselves that. You are never supposed to let an insult like that slide. You are never supposed to let such a blatant full frontal assault on the African identity slide without comment, without statement. You are never supposed to allow something like that to occur. I'm looking out here across African society today, and I want to know who's going to stand up for Ruby Dee. Who's going to defend her? Who is going to be responsible for maintaining the honor of women like her? Who's going to do that? Where is your voice going to be heard? I can get black women to call me all night and scream all day about relationships with men, but if you want to know why the men do not respect you as women, it is because you do not respect yourselves. That you can learn about hairstyles. You can learn about shoes. You can learn about Gucci bags. Red bottoms. But you will not lift a finger to defend Rosa Parks, to defend Ruby Dee, and to defend yourselves. That's why the men don't respect you. This is why black men don't respect you, because we don't have to whore black women out anymore. They line up to do it for themselves. They spit on the example of women like Ruby Dee. All last week and all this week, I've had black woman after black woman, black female after black female, bragging, telling me that it's the African thing to do for them to walk around naked. Not to walk around intelligent, not to walk around with a degree, not to walk around black first, but to walk around naked. Their identity is in imitating dogs and wild animals with no clothing, naked savages eating the mud and their own feces, and telling us that that's the African way to be. Where is our proud black womanhood today to stand up and to fight that? Where is it, everybody? Someone show me. Someone tell me. Where is our proud black womanhood today? Tonight's broadcast has been calibrated for maximum offensiveness. It's my goal to offend people on the maximum level. Probably why things have happened here. You need to let everybody know, because they need to get equally offended by this. Let them know that you found somebody who's speaking some truth. Find a couple of people who were sitting up here co-signing that picture and give them this link and let them listen in. Because somebody needs to stand up for black womanhood today. Black women are simply not going to do it. Black women have resigned themselves to be the whores and the dogs of the world, and to spit on the image of Ruby Dee, and to spit on her memory, and to mock and laugh at her legacy. You don't need white society to do that anymore. You've got black people now who have accepted the role and the responsibilities of white supremacy to mock intelligence, to mock human decency, to mock pride, dignity, respect, honorability. And I want to know who is going to stand up for that. Who is going to stand up for our proud black womanhood now? A black woman, if the only time that she can get your respect or get a word from you is when she's naked, you ain't got no respect for her. If the only time that you can sit up here and talk about beautiful African queen is when your women are in a state of undress, you don't have any respect for them. You don't have any respect. And so many black females do not even desire to be respected. They don't even want it. They're not even looking for it. And that's how some dusty bum-ass nigga can sit up here and tell you, oh, black queen, you're beautiful for flopping your breasts out. That's right. Show the whole world in the middle of a graduation ceremony that you have no decency. I don't give a damn if black women have no decency at all. It just makes it easier for me to have some sex with them. You don't need white men to whore out your women anymore. The women are desirous of the bottom dregs of the bottom 20% of black males to do that for them. Black men like me who demand and expect a higher standard, they laugh, they mock, they ridicule, they call us names. That's what they do. But as soon as the men have sex with them and drop them, all of a sudden, these niggas ain't no good. These niggas ain't nothing. Perfectly happy with them when they were co-signing your ignorant whore slut dog selfies on Facebook. That you were okay with. When they started treating you like it, now you had a problem. But you were too dumb and dog-like to realize they were treating you like that when they were co-signing those pictures. And I want to know who's going to stand up for black womanhood. Who's going to do that? I want to know, even though I know this is an impromptu broadcast, I was not going to broadcast tonight. I wasn't going to do that. But I'm doing it now because I want you to know that it's not enough for black men to be upset. It's not enough for black men to be unhappy. It's not enough for black men to know that there's a problem. That's not enough. It's not going to change anything if the only people who know what's wrong are black men. That's not going to change anything. We need the women to stand up as black men. If you don't respect yourselves enough to say no, pictures of black women naked is not respect. That's not worthy. They want to sit up here and talk about motherhood. They're not talking about wifehood. They want to talk about it's natural to expose and bear your body to the world. They don't want to talk about how you get the respect of people. They have no concept of it. We need warriors. We need warriors for African respect among black people. We need warriors who are going to fight to make sure that we are respected among each other. That's what we need now. We need that desperately today. We desperately need for black people who are going to stand up and fight to the death to preserve our image. Help us get that message out now, then. If you're not going to do it, and most of you haven't, that's what 7 a.m. is all about. Somebody doing something. Don't talk about it now. I want you to be about it. I want to challenge every single one of you going into this weekend. I want to challenge you. Get us over 73,000. Over that. Make it where our position is undeniable. Dig. I want you to dig deep now. Because the enemies are digging deep. The enemies are unrelenting. The enemy is putting up picture of black people. You don't need the Ku Klux Klan to put up pictures of black people anymore and say that we're savages. You got black folk doing it now. Who's going to fight for intelligent black society? Who's going to fight for your children? I want to do that, and I want you to do that. That's what 7 a.m. is about. These people are on the march, and they're making their move. I want to know, are you going to do something? Are you going to fight that? Are you going to stand up for Ruby Dee, who can no longer speak for herself? To Shabazz and Ida B. Wells, who can no longer speak for themselves? For all of our matriarchs who can no longer speak for themselves, are you going to stand up for them now? Are you going to speak up for them now? Are you going to reserve a seat at the table for them now? Or are you going to move them to the side? Are you going to act like and pretend like you didn't see what they just did? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to vote? Vote with your hearts and your dollars and your spirits and your words. Are you going to show these people that not only are we not going to go down without a fight, we're not going to go down at all? I want to know who looked at the picture of Ruby Dee. Look at it! Look at her picture. And then go look at Mimi swinging from a shower curtain. Go look at this whore at a graduation where we're supposed to be honoring black women's intelligence, and she jumps up in the middle of it and rips her clothes off because, you see, she doesn't think she can get attention or agree. That doesn't mean nothing to her. But if she pops her boobs out, that's how you get risked as a black woman. Hey, and not a black female speaking against her, shaming her for doing that. I want to know who's going to stand up for us. Who's going to stand up for your daughters and your sons when people try to tell them that that's natural and that's okay? Who's going to stand up for Ruby Dee? Who's going to stand up for Dr. Shabazz, Rosa Parks? Who's going to stand up for Kathleen Cleaver, Attila Shabazz? Who's going to stand up for them? Who's going to stand up for Afeni Shakur? Who is going to stand up for black womanhood? Because you cannot have a black people without a strong black manhood and a strong black womanhood. Who is going to stand up for them now? It better be you. It better be you. You see, white folk hold a standard. And if you fail that standard, you get punished by them. Cantor just found that out. Eric Cantor just found out the hard way what happens when you don't appease white standards. Doesn't matter how long we knew you. Doesn't matter what you did last year. Doesn't matter how good a friend you were back in the day. You committed the unpardonable sin of failure. And it will not be overlooked. You have failed to do what we told you to do. Where are the black women to stand up against the black female attention whores? Where are they? Where are they tonight? I want to hear from the women. The phone lines are open. I want to hear from the women about this. I want to hear what the women are thinking and what the women are doing. I want to know if you are going to help turn the tide on this, or are you just going to sit back and say, leave it up to other people? Brothers, sisters, this ain't going to get won by you sitting up waiting on somebody else. You are the one that Ruby Dee, Dr. Clark, Dr. Anderson, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you are the one that they were waiting for. to show the world what it truly means to be African. And if we're going to fight back this horde of savages, it starts now and tonight with everything that we're going to do. I want to bring on the line right now, Mona Lachey. You're on with the Black Channel here, sister. I want to know tonight, who's going to stand up for black womanhood in a day and age where Ruby Dee is dead and whores who flip out their breasts and get co-signed on the internet are alive? Sister, who's going to speak up for our proud black womanhood now?
Black first,
sister.
No, it doesn't. We do have a few. I just hope we're not outnumbered. It's awful. It's very embarrassing that we have, as African American women, you know, put ourselves out there like that. Rihanna, that little girl graduating, she messed up her whole ceremony. And there's so many comments that I read that saying that's natural. You know, they did it in Africa. We're not in Africa. We're in America, where we're supposed to be civilized. And they already say that we're savages. And she just proved us wrong. I mean, just proved them right.
They say they were savages, that they found us living in trees, walking around naked with bones in our noses. That's what they say. And she, at a ceremony dedicated to celebrating intelligence and intellect, she chooses that opportunity to show them that they were right, that we walk around naked, that she was going to be in the middle of a ceremony celebrating intelligence, she would be the example and the representative of African savagery. That's an affront to all of us as Africans. All of us. They don't say things like, in Africa, they build businesses. In Africa, they raise their children well. In Africa, they're valedictorian. In Africa, they're doctors and enterprising. In Africa, you've got billionaires. Why is it they don't say that? It's just in Africa, somebody's walking around naked. Somewhere, we don't know where, but there's somewhere in Africa, somebody's walking around naked. Somewhere in Africa, somebody's walking around with tattoos up and down their asses. Somewhere in Africa, somebody is getting an STD. Somewhere in Africa, somebody is a concubine, is a second or third or fourth wife in a harem. Somewhere in Africa, coonery and buffoonery reigns. That's what they tell us. They don't look at the good things in Africa. They never name those. It's always the same thing. Somebody's a whore in Africa. Somebody's a slut in Africa. Somebody's having a bastard baby in Africa. Somebody's got tattoos in Africa. Somebody's got bones in their nose and is walking around naked in Africa. Not someone in Africa is living better and finer than everyone else, more intelligent and more high-minded than everybody else. They never say that one. They don't subscribe or aspire excellence. They look for the lowest form of degeneracy and try to tell us that that's what it means to be an African. Were you offended by that, Mona?
I was very offended, and I was offended by the person that was behind the camera that took the picture. So I don't know the race of the gender of the baby, but you're going to be proud to show that to your baby when your baby grows up, that you are all over social media with your breasts out. Where was her bra at? She took all that off. Did she have on clothes underneath there?
They don't need clothes anymore, Mona. But it obviously shows you there that she came prepared to expose herself. And you've got Negro bedwinches across America co-signing that. But then they will get mad when the men treat them like nothing but sex objects, that you're only good for being naked. and you let them run that game on you. So desperate for attention you were that you defended your own whoring. What? How does that reflect on other black women like Ruby Dee? How does that reflect on them? What does that do to them? What does that do to other black women when you do that? They've got no regard for that. Nobody is defending black excellence. Everybody wants to stand up for coonery and buffoonery. Everybody.
Yeah, it gives every black woman a bad name, and it causes every black woman to be disrespected, because if that's the norm, a man can just walk up to me and talk to me any kind of way and treat me any kind of way, because it's just out there like that. Men don't have to respect us. We don't respect ourselves.
What the reason for that, putting up that picture, is that was supposed to be a sly way of saying it's okay to be naked. That was not about feeding a baby. That whole point of that whole picture is it's okay to be naked. Oh, look, I'm going to be breastfeeding at a graduation. See, that's her excuse for doing it. It's okay for me to be naked at a graduation. I'm breastfeeding. I bet you that dumb, stupid broad was not valedictorian. I bet you that she didn't have the highest grade point average. I bet you she didn't have that, but she sure is there to let you know. That's why white folks say the things about us that they do, that you can't put anything good in a black neighborhood because those people have no respect for it and they'll just trash it. You can't have a ceremony celebrating intelligence because Negroes do not have respect for intelligence. And look what they will do if you bring them. If you bring black women to a ceremony for intelligence, look how they'll do. They'll just defecate on the floor. They'll just throw their feces around the room. That's what will happen if you bring black women. That's what they're saying now.
And that wasn't done for motherhood. That was done for shock value. That was done for exactly what she did with it and put it on a social media website.
But what about all the females co-signing that? What about all the females everywhere who are sitting up here defending that? I mean, don't they understand that they are giving men license to disrespect them every which way but loose now? Because if you, they want you to sit up here and have no regard and no respect for your body, that you don't consider your body to be something special and sacred and something that is supposed to be honored, that is just available for anybody to look at under any circumstances. At any time, a woman will flop out her breasts for you to take a look at them. They think empowering themselves, and they're falling for the same stupid ruse that Hugh Hefner pulled on them. He said that women being naked was empowering themselves, too. Does anybody have any respect? Have you ever had a female who was in Playboy ass naked that you had more respect for after seeing her in Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler? Hell no. And then they wonder how they ended up like that. You're a mother, Mona. How many men who you were not having a relationship with got to see your naked breasts?
None. My thing is this. I was sitting here, you know, probably yesterday, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm a little bit older and trying to think back on my childhood, trying to think about when I was 20, 17, 18, 19 years old, and did we do all these despicable things? And I don't know if it's social media or, you know, these camera phones are what it is, but these women have lost their mind. And it makes me ashamed sometimes to be a black woman. And I love my sisters, but I don't know. Just anything goes. And how low can you go? How low can you go? It seems like you were saying last night, you know, they're not doing it for fame or money. They're doing it for hits and thinking that that means something. This is bad behavior. This is awful. So we know that the majority of African-American women suffer from low self-esteem and that they will do any and anything to get some attention. And then when you call a black woman attention whore, she'll curse you out or want to fight you. I tell you to mind your business or this is my body and blah, blah, blah. But when a man approaches you and looks down your shirt, you got a problem. When he's all up on your behind, you got a problem. But you have all these body parts hanging out, and you don't want to be disrespected. And we don't see ladies like Ruby Dee, Diane Carroll, Betty Shabazz. We don't see these ladies anymore. We don't see classiness.
Now,
when
she meets a male and he sees a picture like that, that picture, don't you know that that picture gives us a choice? We can either recognize you for your education and your educational achievement, which is what we're there for, or you can try to derail us off into yet another excursion into your attention whoring and that you have nothing to offer the world except your breasts. That's it. She gave us a choice, and what she said was, this degree ain't worth toilet paper to wipe myself with. I'm here for attention. I don't want to be recognized for my educational achievement, if she has any. I don't want to be recognized for that. I want to be recognized for it. Here, take a look at these. Instead of her saying that this place is special because I've achieved something special, she said, nah, this ain't nothing but just another place, just like anything else. But when she gets with a man, she's going to want him to treat her in the same schizophrenic way. See me as a whore, but treat me like a lady. Look at me acting like a whore, but treat me like a lady. And then they're upset when the men see a hoe, treat a hoe. You all need to be careful out there today. You need to be careful because your children are on social media and they're meeting everybody. Your children are out there. When you and I were younger, Mona, we had to go meet a certain group of people to get into trouble. You didn't just have a bunch of hoes and thugs. Your parents could control that better. Today, young people and teenagers and young adults, they can meet every single unsavory aspect of society without ever leaving Twitter, without ever leaving Instagram, without ever leaving Facebook. They can meet sluts showing their underwear. When I was in high school, you had to talk a girl into doing that. Today, it's all over Facebook. You're tripping over it everywhere. Instagram, you're tripping over it everywhere. Your children can run into all those unsavory elements and never leave their bedrooms. And that is the culture that they're going into. They are thinking that that is the norm now. That anything goes. But human nature is human nature. And when you approach a man with your breasts out, that means something. Idiots and sycophants trying to tell us that a woman with her breasts out in public doesn't mean anything. It has no significance beyond that. But they get mad when the truth comes down on them. And this is why you've got so many black females today who cannot get a man, get a husband, and if they do get one, they cannot keep him. And you've got a ton of black males who will sit up here and co-sign their nakedness. Yeah, first you take off your bra, next you take off your panties. All you've done is telegraph to him that you have respect for your body, and getting the drawers off is going to be a lot easier. We already got your panties off. Let me make you as comfortable as I can with you being in a state of undress. Any idiot can see that this works in a male's favor. That works in nothing but the male's favor. No man is congratulating you for that because he thinks wonderful of motherhood.
Why didn't he congratulate you on your degree? None of them were saying anything about your degree. They were just saying something about that sure is, but you don't have a problem getting naked. Because if she's that easy to get naked in public, please, she's probably not wearing any underwear either, Mona. I mean, we didn't see a bra on her. She's probably not wearing any underwear either. And it infuriates me. It enrages me to see something like that. And with people trying to stick pictures of African statues next to it and talking about Africa, you are behaving like savages and trying to subscribe savagery to my homeland? Where is capital punishment when we need it? Capital punishment when it's needed. We need a big microphone and an even bigger megaphone, Mona, because I want to speak out against this kind of thing. After we're done with 7 a.m., if I choose to do another documentary, I want to do one about single motherhood and the failed, not fallen, but failed state of black womanhood today, in the hopes that we can bring honorability of black women back into style. You know, you had to graduate from school, Mona, and I don't know. I'm sure hoping that nobody showed up at your graduation with their breasts flopped out, expecting to be respected for their achievement.
No, they didn't. I think we grew up to, you know, be mysterious. You know, let a man have some mystery. Don't just show everything. And of course, there was a few. There was a few whores. But I said a few, maybe 5, 6, less than 10, that we knew were nasty. It wasn't the majority, almost the majority. It's ridiculous. I absolutely saw a video yesterday, a young lady, or I guess she must have been on the bus, and she took her pants down and she used the bathroom. And she stood up and she wiped her butt with some wipes, pissed all in the seat, and was not aware somebody was videotaping her. Just nasty. Put her little panties up and sat back down. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's wrong. And that young lady, where were her parents? Because normally when you're graduating, you're with your parents. You're taking pictures with your friends next to your parents. Oh, that was a special shot. That special shot for the baby. Who was that picture for? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And when I see stuff like that, I just kind of scroll past it, because when I see stuff like that and I see the comments, as in the majority are for it, it's like if I pass it around, it goes viral, and it does what they set out for it to do. So am I helping by passing it around when I see the comments of women cheering this woman on? It's troubling. And they want to be called queen. Yeah.
They want their queenhood to be based on something basic like their body. Well, I'm a female. And I got breasts, so they're at a pawn shop. How much respect can I get for these? I'm a female, and I got breasts. How much respect can I get for these? What will you give me for these ridiculously degraded state we're looking at now? And I want to know who is going to stand up for Ruby Dee and our proud black womanhood. We need a counteroffensive, people. Social media is going to encourage black women to keep desecrating themselves and demeaning themselves and degrading themselves. So what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit back, watch it happen? Are you going to put your resources behind us so that we can launch a counteroffensive? You better make up your minds tonight.
We're going to go ahead and take another phone call here. Caller from 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Jason, is this one from North Carolina?
Black First, sister, what's on your mind?
That picture, when you started talking about children, think of how many children were actually at that graduation and how many toddlers or primary elementary school kids were there and actually had to see that. And as a, if you're a parent, how do you necessarily explain? Because, you know, like a lot of times, like I said, they have a cover and everything. Why wasn't she covered? But now all the little kids are seeing that. And, you know, a lot of times little kids have this tendency to try to take off their clothes and walk around the house, whatever, so they see her. And are they thinking that that's okay?
Well, I was talking last week about, and it was nothing but black females. You saw it for yourself, defending walking around the house naked in front of their children. And what we have right now is that black femalehood in America is starting to resemble white male pedophilia.
Mm.
If we can just be honest about it, black female behavior in America is starting to resemble white male pedophilia behavior in America. That they are constantly demanding to be in a state of nakedness and undress and intimacy with children. Not with adults, but with children. That these are grown women who are taking every opportunity that they can to be in a state of undress with children. If we can all just have the courage to be honest about what we're really seeing. Because I'm going to tell it like it is. These are grown people who are demanding to offer their nakedness to children and now to babies in public. Everything is revolving around sex and children. Now, you yourself being a college graduate, that imagine that at your college ceremony. Think about that. That Stephanie is taking pictures with her friends, and here this heifer is behind them. And that that's going to be eternally immortalized in your picture. Think about that. I would be incensed at something like that. I would be livid at something like that occurring, that I've done all this work, and then here you come deciding that you will be the representative for African savagery. Not intelligence, but for African savagery.
I just don't get it.
I really think that we've been totally desensitized and just completely sexualized. Everything goes to the sexual side. Everything. And nothing is shocking. Anything goes nowadays. And somebody is accepting it because it's rampant.
Well, I think it's society as a whole that's kind of, I mean, if you really look at society as a whole, it's definitely running rampant. And I think that's where we as African people can use that to our advantage, and by setting a standard within our own community and saying that this is not going to happen, this is not going to occur on our watch, that we can actually, we can use it to propel us in order to rise above everybody else in this society who's, oh, do what you want to do, live carefree, whatever. But it's getting more people to realize that, you know, this isn't the way to go. This isn't what we need to be doing.
As black people today, most of us do not understand how critical this hour is. Don't you understand that the whole purpose of slavery was to get us to mentally become a permanent underclass? That was the whole purpose of it. In India, you know, you've got the Brahmin, and you've got all these people who are, well, not in India, but you've got these people who
are the underclass. You've got the untouchables. You've got a group of people who are just the permanent underclass. Rape is rampant. Sexual abuse is unreported. Assault and murder against them is commonplace and ignored. And they accept it. It's been that way for 1,000 years. They accept it. And I just want to know how many of us are going to sit here and accept this. I'm making a call tonight to everybody for 7 a.m. Help us to do something about this. Let's show them. Let's show everybody that we're not just going to sit here and take this. That you do not represent our black womanhood. You don't. That the intelligent among us are going to represent that. That we, right after Maya Angelou dies, this heifer decides to flop her breasts out? This is how you commemorate the memory of Maya Angelou. This is how you prepare the world for the passing of Ruby Dee. This, at a graduation ceremony, this is how you're going to represent black women. And worse, worse, worse. What she did was not the worst thing. The fact that there are scores of black women around the country and around the world approving of this. Telling the men out there that we don't have respect for our bodies as black women, that the only time that we feel womanly is when we're naked. That's our idea of respect. Nobody knows or cares what her degree is in. I'm known for being naked. This is what it means to be a black woman. Damn your higher standard. Damn the body is sacred. Damn my body is dignified. My body's worthless if I can't give it, offer it up for the enjoyment of others. If I do not enact a pseudo-prostitution state, then my being a woman is worthless if I can't make my body naked. It's worthless. And I want us to return to a time when we can respect black women simply for being our women because they represent us well. That's what I want to go to.
There's a lot of these young ladies that didn't even know who Maya Angelou was. I read a comment that a young lady said she was referring to Maya the singer. I read a comment. They don't know, you know, their ancestors. They don't know, you know, the people that fight for us to be here. The people that sacrifice themselves. I saw a young lady's comment that said Nicki Minaj did more than Dr. Martin Luther King. She has a clothing line. She's a singer. I read a comment, and as a matter of fact, I copied it, that this young lady said the reason why single mothers exist is because 90% of them, you know, were rape victims. It's just a whole lot of foolishness and buffoonery and misinformed people just out here, and I don't know what happened.
It's just negligent.
They don't want to know about the past. They don't want to know about the struggle. They don't want to know about the sacrifice and the blood that was shed. That was old time. That was before my time. They don't see the significance of that. They don't see the path that was made for them. They don't see that. They don't understand that.
But, Mom, who's teaching that to them?
Nobody's teaching them anything.
Exactly.
Well, no, they are being taught. They're being raised in homes where they're operating on whorehouse rules. These are the rules of the whorehouse. These are the rules of the hoe baths. That's the rules they're operating under today. When you talk about a female is pulling down her underwear on a bus and relieving herself, though, that's what you do in a whorehouse. That's what you do in an alley. You don't do that among civilized people.
When you have a generation of babies raising babies, they don't have any moral standards or convictions. Anything goes. When you sit your child in front of a TV that's watching BET and all these videos, that's who's teaching these people. And the mom is looking at it right with them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any morals or standards for yourselves. And you don't have any for your children. Because you don't know what that means.
Exactly. Okay. And the kind of piggyback off what Mona was saying about the ages of kids, I was listening to NPR radio maybe Sunday. I don't know when it was. But they had the Indian lady on there. And I think it, well, I'm not going to go into that part, but she was actually saying how, you know, how to have spicy foods and everything there, and the fact that, you know, as little kids, you don't start off eating those spicy foods, but you see the adults actually eating those foods, and, you know, of course, as a little kid, you're getting the sweet stuff and whatnot, but you see the adult eating spicy food, and when you get to that point in your life, then that's when you feel like you've made it. And it made me think about my childhood, and my mother would not let me have the darker nail polish. If I had nail polish, it had to be clear or it had to be a light color. And so I can recall, you know, getting older and the fact that I could wear this, you know, this dark red nail polish, and so now I'm grown. But nowadays the kids don't have that. The kids basically look like little adults, and the kids are treated like adults. It's a lot of kids who have to see about their younger brothers and sisters while their mothers go to the club or go to work or wherever. They are responsible for their kids. It's like they are the caretakers, and they didn't even have the kids. So it's just this whole mix-up of, I guess, roles, not just gender roles, but as far as who's supposed to be doing what. And so, like you said, it's the whole free-for-all.
Absolutely. And you guys know I'm in the hair industry. You know, when I see little girls with nails, acrylic nails,
exactly,
and their mothers are bringing them to the shop and they want to get them streaks in their hair. And I'm like, no. You can't imagine how much money I turned down trying to have some standards for women's children that they don't have standards for. I would not put color in her hair. I would not put a perm in her hair. What happened to ponytails? What happened to little girls with dolls? The innocence is just lost. It's just out the door. My father raised me where you could not wear shorts outside. You wore shorts to the beach and in the house. So when I see a young lady coming to the shop with her little cheeks out, but she's with her mother. So if her mother doesn't see anything wrong with it, and I say something, I'm old-fashioned. Oh, we had an auntie like you. We had an auntie like you. They think it's cute. When the mother thinks it's cute, there's a problem. You're 13, you got a blouse hanging off your shoulder. There was a progression to womanhood. Like you said, you didn't get all, you didn't get to do all that makeup and everything. My father sent me to charm school when I was 14, Barbizon Beauty College, and it was makeup night. And he took me, he picked me up, and it was all good when I was wearing that telephone book on top of my head, and they were, you know, making you stand up straight. But it happened to be makeup night. And that night, I came home with blue eyeshadow, and they used to call it rouge, blush all over my face. They had arched my eyebrows, and my father called me a big dummy. And why did I let those people do that to me? But it was makeup night, and I never went back again. So that was a lesson for me. You don't let people guide you. You be a leader. Certain things you say no to. You stand up for yourself. You don't fall for everything. We don't have those type of parents nowadays. And when you do, those parents are considered to be strict because the mothers want to be these children's friends. Even though I have a son, I am not his friend. And he knows that. But when they're just, I'm telling you, little girls with French rolls and finger waves and the adult hairstyles, The hairstyles that we couldn't wait till we got 17, 18 to do certain things, they're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
The diamond earrings, what do they have to look forward to? If they've got all the jewelry and all the designer things as little kids. And then that makes it hard for a man to be able to provide for them because they're super spoiled. They're not appreciative of anything because they've had it all. Whether we were broke or whatever, we didn't have any food in the refrigerator, that doesn't mean nothing because my baby got on this designer or that designer.
Yeah, well, they don't have to worry about the food. They don't have to worry about the food not being in the refrigerator because the government gives that to them. So they can focus on spending their money on other things.
Exactly, and that's why you see these pictures of these young ladies. Oh, their body, their outfit might be tight, but that house looks horrible. You take a picture and you look like you're in Hoarders. But you standing up there posing with a new outfit on. We don't even know if you wash your behind, but you think you look good. And that's the standard. That's the moral. That's what's out there today.
Whorehouse rules. That's why, I don't know, I might call it, that might be what I call the second installment. I might call it my second documentary, Whorehouse Rules. Wouldn't that just offend the hell out of a bunch of people? Let's go ahead and see if we can take another phone call here. Call them 209. You're on live with the Black Channel. Turn your speakers off. That was brilliant. Caller from 209. Last try. You're on live with Black Channel. Go ahead and just leave them to their own devices. Caller from 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, this is Gwendolyn from Fort Meade. Hi, Jason, Mona, Stephanie.
What's on your mind, Gwendolyn?
Well, you know, I've been listening and you know, I participated in a conversation today. You know, it is really sad, you know, and I agree with what Mona and Stephanie have been saying, and it kind of made me cringe even when Mona said that sometimes she's in, can even feel embarrassed, and because I don't like to even admit that to myself, but I guess, you know, I have to, you know, start being honest so I can check myself, you know, as well as other women, because there's just this, first, I don't know how to say it, but I don't think a lot of Black women even, it's not even about breastfeeding your kid, because for the most part, I have a lot of friends, I know a lot of people, I mean, that I've grown up with who have babies, and I can't tell you one of them that's breastfed. Black women nowadays, I don't think they're concerned with breastfeeding or anything. You know, they have their baby, and the baby goes in the crib, and that's about it, you know. There's no real bonding with the baby.
That's a very good point, because all this talking about queen mother this and mother that, it's not like they're doing a whole bunch of bonding and take care of their children like that anyway. It's not like that much concern and care is going in anyway. So that's why all of the talk is preposterous, trying to relate this to motherhood. That's not what you were focusing on here, because when was the last time you saw a bunch of Black females get together and just spontaneously start talking about the correct ways of breastfeeding their baby?
Yeah,
they can't tell you how much a breast pump costs. They can't tell you about formula, really. I mean, hell, they can't cook a meal for themselves. What makes you think they know anything about taking care of a baby? We wouldn't have all these children with screwed off malnutrition now if that were the case.
Mm-hmm.
Most Black females don't know a damn thing about prenatals. Not a damn thing. And yet, we're supposed to believe that you're concerned about breastfeeding? You can't even teach your children how to read, and yet we're supposed to believe that you're concerned about breastfeeding? I mean, it's not like we got some group of really highly educated Black females who are standing up for this mess. They're all standing up, well, hey, we got the right to be hoes. Give us an excuse. Just like what that picture was like Black males talking about medicinal marijuana. You got a bunch of Black males all of a sudden hollering about, oh, I got backaches, I got migraines, and nothing else works except some weed. There she is. I can't get attention from my degree. Nobody gives a damn about it because I'm a
2.0 student, but I can get attention for flopping out naked. Let me show you how little my degree means and how bad of a student I was. No one will remember me for my grades. Hell, no one wants to remember my grades, but they can remember me for this. See, I made my mark. And watch all the other dumb, dopey, bust-down broads get out there and co-sign that. That picture is really a litmus test. If you are a black male who sees a female co-signing pictures like that, and you take up with her, you deserve whatever you get after that. Because she just showed you her value system is. She just showed you what your daughter is going to be doing at 13, 14. That's going to be your child. And we in black society, we better do something about this. We better take a stand against this kind of thing. Because this idea that we can just sit here and do nothing while these people go on a jihad against us, while these people sit up here and stack the deck as high against us as they can, understand something. We are courting our own annihilation at this point if we let that happen. We're courting our own annihilation if we let that happen. And even worse, think about the disgrace that this is doing to our elders, to our icons. How can we sit up here if we as intelligent black people let this slide with no response? What does that say about us? Think about the war that the media has going against us right now. Because white folk, they would not let a picture like that of a white woman get around like that. See, they're going to protect their women. Now, black women, you can coon and buffoon all you want to. Remember what I explained to you all last week. Walking around, that's cooning. Smiling while you look like a jigaboon in front of the world, that's cooning. Acting a fool and a savage in a place where you're supposed to be exercising manners, that's coonery. That's all that is. And we've got individuals cheerleading for coonery. The national media is not joking, people. It's not a joke. For those of you out there in California and whatnot, they are talking about the 20th anniversary of the O.J. Simpson acquittal. Are you serious? It is 20 years later, two decades. They didn't do this for the little boy girls killed at 16th Avenue Baptist Church, Mississippi burning. They didn't do this for them. They're not giving us the five-year anniversary of the murder of Sean Bell, the 10-year anniversary, 15-year anniversary of the murder of Amadou Diallo. They're not doing that. They're not giving us the one-year anniversary of the acquittal of George Zimmerman and what went wrong in America. They're not doing that. But they want you to remember O.J. Simpson. Oh, they want to make sure you remember that. Because that's the way that terrorism works. Terrorism works by reminding your victims of your ability to terrorize them. And that's why black folk out there were entering the last few days, but everybody, Stephanie, Gwen, Mona, and everywhere else, I don't want to hear any excuses. I want everybody to dig in and do something this weekend. We've only got a few days left for 7 a.m. Give us the ability to tell this story because the whores and the sluts are helping white supremacy to attack us from the inside. And the media and the white media corporate establishment is attacking us from the outside. And who on earth is speaking up for black empowerment? Who's doing that? Who's saying it? Who's making it clear that we are not just going to sit here and get rolled off into annihilation? Because if we don't value our women and value ourselves, who the hell is going to? If we don't put our dollars where our demands are, who's going to? Who is going to speak up against things like this? Melissa Harris Perry? She going to do it? Cameron Hall? she going to do it? Rachel Maddow? Who? Nikki Mabry? Who is going to speak up against this? Who is going to speak up for dignified black female behavior? Who's going to do that? If we don't do it, who will? Tell me. Somebody. Mona, Gwen, Steph, somebody tell me. If we don't do this, who is going to jump up and do it for us in our place? Who is going to get on the television in front of the media to counter that image of black womanhood? Because, Gwen, you're a dark-skinned black woman. And she was a dark-skinned black woman doing her best Jungle Bunny Coon Savage imitation. And don't you know that that has results for you as a black woman? Don't you know that what she did reflects on you as a black woman? It reflects on you. Next time you go out in public and the men are not treating you with the respect that everybody else, take a look what a representative of dark-skinned black women did. Lived up to all the expectations. What does dark skin have to do with it? What's the significance? Because the darker you are, the more African you appear. The more clearly African you are. That's why it matters. You see, they're not going to let the light-skinned females get out there like that. Because that reflects on Europeanism. They want to get dark-skinned black females out there to reflect on that. Because that reflects on Africanism. That reflects on our Africanness. And that's why dark-skinned black women are a prime target of white supremacy and white supremacist sympathizers. And I'm asking everybody, who's going to speak up for us? These are our women. If we are going to call ourselves Africans, who's going to speak up for Africanness? For those of you listening, it's time to get off your collective asses. In the next few days, I don't want to just creep across this thing. In the next few days, I need everybody to dig in because we're coming down the home stretch now. We have not done nearly enough. Not nearly enough when this is what's going on. One documentary and one TV commercial is not going to fix everything. But we can make a hell of an impact. We can make a hell of an impact. I want everybody here to look at the picture of Ruby Dee and then look at this heifer at this graduation with her breast flopped out saying that I represent black women. Take a look at me, Faust, whoring herself in front of white men on a shower curtain rod. I represent black women. Take a look at Rihanna, ass naked under a dress. I represent black women. Take a look at Nicki Minaj, the puppet of the Ku Klux Klan record industry, as she grins like a plastic surgeon doll. I represent black womanhood. I want some black people who are going to use their voices and their dollars and their actions and their convictions to show her and to show all of that cadre of white supremacist puppets the hell you represent black womanhood. The hell you do. That we're going to take a stand for what it means. I don't want any more excuses, people. They're making their full court press. Tariq Nasheed in one documentary is not going to fix that. Three documentaries ain't going to fix it. But if we keep slugging and we keep doing as much as we can, as often as we can, that's going to make a difference. So tonight during this broadcast, I'm asking everybody listening in, $20. That's all you got to do. And if you think it's too much, if you think you got bills to pay, if you think you can't do it, I want you to take a look at that picture whore saying that she represents black women, that's all the good that a, quote, education is going to do for black women. That you can put them in makeup, and you can put them in a cap and gown, and you can give them a degree, and you can walk them across the stage, and they're still monkeys. That's what she showed the world. That she doesn't even need white men to say it. She will give them a picture illustration. Can you all imagine, and I haven't even looked at it, but can you all imagine, I will bet you all, I will guarantee it, that that picture is over at Stormfront and Nigger Mania. Oh, I'm telling the truth on you now. I bet you that that picture is over at Stormfront and Nigger Mania and other web. For those of you who don't know those white supremacist websites, I'm not making those up. Those are real websites. They're real. They are real, and they are bastions and strongholds of white supremacists. And they have literally millions of viewers. Literally. And I guarantee you that that picture is on one or both of those websites, with them saying, see, this is why we have to eradicate them from the earth, because you cannot domesticate them. Talking about educating them. Take a look at this picture of her. You cannot educate them. Look, even she's showing you she cannot be educated. She cannot be domesticated. You're wasting your time and your life. They're animals, savages, barbarians. She is proof that we picked them up from the trees. And look at the comments. Look at the comments they all make. They don't talk about living today. They talk about Africa. They even admitted themselves that we're naked in Africa, even though that's a damn lie. They'll tell you themselves, we were naked in Africa. We're comfortable. That's what we do. We chimp out. Niggermania. This is what we do. Why should we call them anything else? There's nothing to respect there. We can give them graduations. We can give them clothes. They told you that they were naked. We can give it to them. That's not going to do anything. You can dress up a monkey, but you can't stop them from swinging. I'm going to ask everybody right now to dig in, because this is what we're up against. And nobody's going to stand up for us but us. If you're a black female, you ought to be digging in deep tonight, because that's what represents you. You will be seen by 10 or 12 people today, but that picture will be seen by hundreds of thousands or millions. Now tell me who's going to have the greater impact. Tell me. Who's going to have? Who's going to make the greater impact? You being seen by a couple of checkout girls at Walmart, or her picture being seen around the world with black folks cheering it on? Tell me.
The coon's going to win. Will have more influence. You know, Jason, you know, it's really, I study a lot about white supremacy and everything, and but I see a lot of this stuff as not being separate, but it is related. But I think, you know, as black people, we keep a lot of it really, we are, you know, responsible for a lot of it. Most of it, stuff like this, going on. And it's really, you know, when I'm around white people, they'll quickly call out and call someone trash. And then even white trash redneck people will tell you that they're white trash redneck West Virginia, you know, mountain people. And so there's like maybe more of an understanding or clear definition amongst maybe some of them. You don't see a lot of them that, you know, are kind of, you know, the trashier people trying to convince everybody that they're not what they are, you know, and at least I don't run into that. So I think that there's, I don't know if it's delusion, I don't know what it is that we need to accept everything and everybody around us, and this includes people who aren't black too. This is just, we want to accept everything, everybody, you know. And like Mona said, I work with children, and I'm telling you, I mean, there's five-year-old little girls coming in with weave down their butt, with red weave, and red, I mean, this is serious, and it's not a joke, or it's not for Halloween or anything. This is just on a regular day. They have purple and red weave, and I will tell you, it does make me just a little bit more upset when it is a little dark-skinned girl, because they already have it. We already have it a little different, but it doesn't, that's not the bigger deal to me. It's just like a joke to a lot of black women. And from what I can see, the fathers really don't like it. They either really don't know what's going on or care what's going on, or they don't like it. But they're not the ones really putting the stuff there and doing it, you know. And I don't think they would choose that for their daughters. I can't speak for a man, but, you know, it is pretty bad. It's really bad. And, I mean, you have a five-year-old girl coming in daycare, and her mom is 21, 22, 23, you know, and then they're standing next to white people and the other people, you know, with a mother and a father, and they have a five-year-old, and they're 31, 32, or 33, 34, 35, you know. And I'm not sure if they understand or if they're embarrassed by it, or I'm just not really sure what goes through their mind, but I know you can't tell them anything. It's just gotten to the point where you cannot tell a sister anything. You just can't. You can't say anything to her. You could be her friend, her mother, her sister, her spouse, whoever, and you just can't talk to them about anything. And don't let it be anything positive, you know, because they don't want to hear that, because they're always trying so hard with no results, no results of them trying. Kids aren't making good grades. Kids don't look neat. Kids aren't polite. Kids aren't anything. But they're always trying so hard, and they're always doing it by themselves. And no one ever helps them, and it's, you know, I never see their kids. Their kids are always with their mama or with their father or with someone else, but they're always just trying so hard. And I look at them, and it's, you know, it's really like you're doing less than the dad is a lot of the time. You're doing less than your own parents are. I mean, a lot of these women just straight out, you know, to be honest, don't care. They don't care. They couldn't care. They don't care about their children, not the education, not anything.
How important is it, and I want to ask all of you on this phone, since I've got black women on this phone tonight, I want to ask you all, how important is it to you, to each of you, to reclaim your image as black women? Have you all ever really thought about that?
It's very important.
That you are up against a faction within your own group that is openly trying to destroy what that means. You see how dedicated they are to it. You see how much it means to them. They're like Satan. They're like evil incorporated. They get up every morning trying to figure out some new dastardly deed to pull off. How dedicated are you all to that?
I am very dedicated to it. I fight it every day. You know, when you have a hairstylist that their daughter's hair is awful, or when you have a client that, you know, you tell them, okay, your daughter's hair needs to rest. Put her up in some braids. You know, put her up in some ponytails. She's only 13 years old. Yeah, but, you know, she wants to look like the white girls. She's not white. Yeah. I do it every day. Maybe that's why I don't even have any clients. I talk up against this everywhere. They call me Black Power in the shop. I talk about it in front of white people, Chinese, Mexicans, Arabs, whatever. I never shut my mouth when it comes to us being disrespected. But I look like the oddball out. But I don't care. And we as African American people, we turn our head and we really believe, oh, that's not me, but it is you. Because we represent one another. And I don't want to be reduced to a cum dumpster. I don't want to be reduced to all I'm good for is sex. When you look on Facebook and you hear men after men after men, oh, I hit. I'll F her. Yeah, she can come over. She can't be wifey. That's embarrassing. Because then they think they can hit over here. They can one-night stand over here. Or I can get it. So then I have to curse somebody out because I'm not that person, but I am. We have to stand up for it. I actually made a video about it. I put it on my page, Jason, right now. And it didn't get any hits because it was too real. Where I said a man has a different conversation for a woman when she dressed differently. If I'm naked, I know I'm going to get the naked talk. If I fully clothed, I'm going to get a different conversation from a man. They don't understand the significance of that. Oh, that lady's old. She don't know what she's talking about. I'm never going to get a man if I dress, you know, nicely. If I don't show everything. It's too much ratchetness out here. So they want to step out and be different. Can't beat them, join them. And they don't see that, okay, these women are getting results, but are they getting rings on their fingers? Is it positive results? No, they're just getting attention. They're just getting played. They're just getting sexed up, used up. But everybody else is doing it. It's hard out here. My son brought a young lady home a few years ago, and she had a 2-year-old daughter, and she had on booty shorts. And I called my son in the room. I said, she got to get out of my house. Why, Mama? I said, she is a mother. And I don't care what she did before she was a mother, but she is a mother. And that little girl is looking at her, and that little girl is going to emulate everything her mother does. She got to get the hell out of my house. And my son hurried up and got her up out of here because he knows how I get down. I don't play that. So it's got to be more of us that pulls these young ladies to the side. Hey, check this out. Let me come holler at you. Because that's what the elders used to do to us. They weren't afraid to pull us to the side and check us and tell us why they were checking us. We don't do it. We were like, ooh, girl, look at her. And keep on going. So we're a part of the problem. There was a woman, I don't know if you guys saw this picture. She had on a tube dress. She was a heavyset woman. She was over 200-some pounds. Looked like she was in Walmart pushing the cart. She had her cell phone in one hand, pushing the cart in the other hand, and she had her baby inside her halter top. And I said, that is so ghetto and so tacky, and it's dangerous. And I had an argument with these young ladies. What's ghetto about that? What's tacky about that? The baby looks comfortable. There's a sling that you put a baby in if you want to put her up there. That's not secure. That's dangerous. What if somebody runs into the cart? What if, heaven forbid, her cell phone, you know, drops because she's going to get that, and the baby just pops out? And your little nasty, greasy butt, you're probably sweating all up in there, and the baby couldn't be in about 3 or 4 months. You don't do that. They think it's acceptable. That's bonding with the mother. That's tasteless and that's tacky. Everything is acceptable.
We've become a people who are accepting of everything, which means that we are worth nothing. I'm going to do my part here. You know, I've been banging the drum now for a decade. I'm going to do my part here, and I want everybody else to do theirs, because understand, that is not our future. That is what we currently are. Let me just say that again. That is not the future. That is the current state of Black society. The real question is, are we going to take it back? A lot of Black folk like to sit up and run their mouths, but it's only when it's time for action that all of a sudden they get real quiet. Last night on Mona Lachey's broadcast, There was a young man who had called in. He didn't have any facts. He didn't have any figures. He just wanted to talk. Tried to tell me that Hispanics were not as large were a larger part of the population than I said it was. Tried to tell me that Asians were for affirmative action. I provided proof that he was wrong from his undisputed source, the Sacramento Bee, since he didn't like the LA Times that I sourced. I provided that to him. I got a message in my inbox on Facebook. Someone was very, very upset, claiming that I'd have more support if I didn't shame people. In other words, they're saying that I would get their support if I didn't insist that black people be accurate as opposed to be vocal. We have so many of us who are content to talk and believe things, to think things, not to know things and do things, but to talk and believe things. And that's why I'm saying enough is a damn enough. If in this place, at this moment in time, these people are not willing to do more, who the hell is? Did you know that you had white folk who were reserving money from every paycheck to contribute to George Zimmerman? I know, because they called in to Sean Hannity every day. They called in to Glenn Beck every day. Called in to Mark Levin every day to let him know that the murder of a 17-year-old black child, that they were not just going to sit and talk about white supremacy. They were going to make sure they got some. And what did they get, people? Well, can somebody explain to me, what did those people purchase for that $500,000 that they gave to George Zimmerman? What did that $500,000 purchase for them? It purchased for them a renaissance of white supremacy without ever having to use the term, without ever having to say the words. Johnny Ace just said it in the chat room very well. They even called in here that night. How is it that so many of them were calling in here the night that Zimmerman was acquitted? How is it that that happened? You all haven't heard from them since then. How is it they all were on the phone that night? How did they know? Because they're always out there and they're always listening. White supremacy is not joking with us. And they wanted to let you know this man was making money off of people around the world. A celebrity in white supremacist circles around the world. And you know why? Because when white people believe in something, they back it with their dollars. Black people say they believe in high-minded things, but we only back R. Kelly and Air Jordans and the new LeBrons and Red Bottoms and Tacky Yaki and Malaysian Remy with our dollars. We're not trying to do it for what will help us. And in an intelligent black society, this shouldn't even be a thought. This is the moment you've been waiting for. I don't understand, Stephanie, how can anybody take a look at a picture of Ruby Dee and then take a look at that picture of this woman humiliating black women and still be sitting on their behinds doing nothing? I don't understand. Do they not comprehend or do they not realize that we're at war? Am I the only person who sees it that way?
You're definitely not making the connection. It's like people can go from one thing to another and not even get it. It'll go right over their head.
You know what, Jason? We don't have any adult role models. We don't have any role models in my age bracket that stand for anything. And I don't have any girlfriends right now because I refuse to turn up. I refuse to go have a cocktail at noon, 10 o'clock in the morning. I refuse to hang out in the bars with these young girls half naked, trying to compete with them. So they're going backwards too. Mm. They're just trying to compete with the young girls. We don't have anybody standing up for anybody. This is all across the board as far as age range. Mama's trying to look like daughters. There's certain mm-hmm. things that you have to let go of as you approach womanhood. Certain things you don't wear anymore. I don't care what your body looks like. You're not supposed to be a 60-year-old with a miniskirt on and some hot pants. You're not supposed to do that. So that's attention. And when we say women want attention, no, we don't. No, we don't. Why can't I dress like that? Young lady in the shop got this awful. She pulling and yanking. That's too big or that's too little. You got to pull your skirt down all day long. That's too little. You squeezing in the stuff. It's just awful. There's no role models. So I stand out here by myself, and I'm called militant. And I'm not for men. I'm not for women. I'm for what's right. I have people tagging me and stuff, talking about black men. Don't tag me in that. I'm not commenting on that, your little shenanigans and your little bashing. And the men have to stop being so thirsty and co-signing that stuff too. Because if you say, ooh, she can get it, she thinks that's an accolade. She doesn't know that, ooh, she can get it means that you just devalued yourself, and I'm going to show you how much I value you. So the men have to stop co-signing with it as well. They're posting up pictures of naked women. So who am I as a woman? When I say that's wrong, then I'm a hater. And I'm old. I need some estrogen. I need to go get some medication or something. I'm out of time. Nobody's trying to hear that. Nobody has time for that.
Well, I don't know if you all seen, well, there was something going around on viral, and, you know, it was a family reunion, a black family reunion, big family reunion, maybe, you know, 100 people there. And, you know, the older ladies got up, a song came on, you know, and it was like a, you know, a club song that, you know, someone, my younger brothers would maybe go to the club and listen to, you know, if they did, you know, do that. But, you know, I don't know, 2 Chainz or something. And these women, 50, 60 years old, were, I don't know what other word to say, but getting it. I mean, they were getting down in front of their family, not at a card game or dominoes, and with their family there, their nephews and daughters. And I mean, they're dressed like, you know, like streetwalkers, and they are, you know, I don't know the words, but it was disgusting. And then I, you know, talk to women, and they do the same thing, the shaming. And I know I'll argue back and forth with people on the page and things like that. I like to express my opinion. And, you know, I can be sensitive. I, you know, have a lot of things about me. But, you know, the whole thing about shaming, there has to be a purpose when you are bringing shame to somebody, and you can't also be saying you're going to go over here and do this and put shame on yourself, but this other person can't, you know. But, you know, you have to weed out the people. And I found that I've had to weed people out of my life, because when you co-sign it, it's just a you say it's wrong on one hand, and then on the other hand, you're out and you're perpetuating it. And I have a friend who hangs around, you know, gay men all the time, but she'll talk trash about gay men. And she said, well, my son better not be a fag and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, on one hand, you understand that it's not right or something is wrong about it, and you don't want that for your son, but you are steady in pictures and at parties with these men, making them feel like that what they're doing is awesome, you know? And it's just, yeah, when you co-sign it and when you allow it and you say, oh, well, that's what those women do, or they look like they're just having fun, you know, you can't find there. You just can't find pictures of certain women doing that. You cannot find a picture or a video of Asian women doing that. And I don't like to compare and things like that, but when you see certain groups of women getting respect, we got to sometimes say, maybe it's not all just about because they have straight hair or because they have light skin. Maybe it's also because of the way that the Middle Eastern girl or the Asian girl presents herself, and the fact that you know that her people are people who want to represent each other. In Asian countries, they have no problem representing each other. They know they represent each other, and they'll tell you that. And they'll bring shame. That's really big in Asian communities, is shame. And they'll be ashamed of making a B on a test. You know, they're ashamed because they didn't make, you know, top grades in medical school. So forget tattoos and dressing like hoochies and stuff. They're ashamed by things that we would be proud of. And I'm not saying you should be proud of going to medical school or anything like that, but you get my point. You know, we just have such a low degree to where I'm wondering if we are ashamed of anything, because I think we support everything. I think we support everything. And then when we do shut it down and say that's not right, we still, in our mind, know people are doing that stuff. So we still support it because we don't shut it down, but we might not say anything about it, you know, and it's just perpetuates. You know, it's really sad to see. It's really sad, and women really have to get it together, because it's very hard. Like I said, I work with children. I've talked to a lot of parents, and it's very hard to talk to black women. Talk to the black fathers and the black fathers. They do what they're supposed to do.
I don't know if you're in a bad area or what, but your phone's breaking up on you a bit there. It's chopping in and out on you quite a bit.
I'm sorry.
But...
Yeah.
For me, it is about understanding that we've all seen Shaka Zulu. We've all seen Roots. Some of you saw Roots the Return. We've all seen Good Times, the Jeffersons. You've all seen Malcolm X, Rosewood. We sit here and we watch these things. We sit here and we watch as the diseases progress. And the cancers metastasize. We sit here and we watch that. And the question I have for everybody is, but what are you going to do about it? Why are you not furious? Why are you not enraged? Why are you not jumping up and down and shouting in the streets? White people showed up at the nation's capital, the Tea Party. White people showed up in force. White people sent their money in by the droves for George Zimmerman. And they made it very, very clear when they called into this broadcast that they were striking a blow against the niggers for white supremacy. And now it's been made so clear. Some people don't like the fact that I speak in such stark terms, but I make it very clear where we stand, because it is. On one side, you have the civilized. On the other side, you have white supremacy's creation, the savages, covered in their tattoos, pierced by their body piercings, their colored hair, and their bought weaves. Their profane mouths and their degenerate vaginas, their low-down dog ways, and their homo-thugging behavior. That is what is opposing intelligent black people. And you can watch all those movies, and when you watch those movies, you're mad, you're furious, and you talk about what you would have done and what you would do if you had been alive in that era. Why, you never would have let the police smack you around now, would you? I remember that as a kid, hearing that all the time. Black folk always say that kind of stuff. It had to have been me. If that had been you, you'd have got hit 3 times. Everybody is the biggest revolutionary and the most black-minded individual at the movie theater. Everybody is Malcolm X at movie theater. Everybody is Bing Rhames and shooting at folk Rosewood in front of the DVD player. But it's once we get you out here on the street, once we get you in the real world, once we talk to you one-on-one, all of a sudden, white supremacy is running things again. And I gotta tell everybody, I don't want that around me. I want black folk around me who are going to do something. You see, I remember Dr. John Henry Clark. And I remember that he was just one man. People, he was just one man. Chancellor Williams, just one man. And Dr. Clark and Chancellor Williams both went the same way. They both went blind for their people. That's what happens when you spend decades of your life reading, straining your eyes, trying to gain knowledge because so few are trying to. That's what happens. He put his everything into that. And I will be damned if I'm going to sit here and do nothing. And that's why I spent tens of thousands of dollars of my own money and said, you know what? I need to make a documentary about this. Because do you know what 7AM is really about, people? I tell people that 7AM is about black economics, black wealth, black empowerment. That's what I tell people that 7AM is about. But I think another way of saying what 7AM is about is to say that 7AM is about nation building. At its most basic, fundamental, elementary level, it is about nation building. Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things you can do with $40,000. You can go trick it off. You can be a fraud. You can be a fake. You can buy cars. You can buy clothes. You can do anything with that kind of money. I chose to spend that and then some. And I said, you know what? Dr. Clark started this. I'm going to do what I can to finish it. I'm going to do what I can to finish it. Because I looked up and I didn't see anybody else doing it. And there are a lot of you right now who are listening to the sound of my voice. And was that enough to save the world? No. Is 7 a.m. going to save the world by itself in one bullet? Man, I wish. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way this works. The way that this works is everybody looks at themselves and recognizes their responsibilities. And if we've made it this far as black people, and after the murder of Malcolm X, Dr. King, Edgar Evers, Fred Hampton, the Black Panthers, COINTELPRO, the crack baby epidemic, Amadou Diallo, Abner Louima, Sean Bell, Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Russell Davis, my God, what will it take? If that wasn't enough for you, what will it take? Because they're not going to just round all up. That's stupid. That's crazy. There is no FEMA camp where they're going to round up all the Negroes. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they are going to use their economy to grind you to powder and to crush you out of existence over the course of the next 100 years. Hell, they're already halfway there, by the way. Go to D.C. Go to New York. Go to Brooklyn. Go to Harlem. Go to Detroit. Go to Lansing. Go to Benton Harbor, Michigan. Go to Miami. Go to Baltimore. Go to Orlando. Go to the Keys. Start looking at Georgia now. Very soon we're going to be talking about Atlanta.
the exact same way that we talk about Harlem. Do you all understand that? Very soon, we are going to be referencing Atlanta the exact same way that we reference Harlem. People, black folk ain't running nothing in Harlem. Black people are legal squatters in Harlem. That's all. They are ethnically cleansing Harlem. Hell, they're halfway done. I know. I've been there. I'm in the middle of Harlem. Down past the McDonald's, white folk walking all over the place. Asians, Arabs, black people walking but not going anywhere. Why, how, where are they going to go? They don't know nothing. They have nowhere to go. Swing on down through Mississippi, a whole state. Mississippi is an entire state. Not just Jackson, not just Pearl River, the entire state of Mississippi is a wasteland for black people. You have nothing there. You are just legal aliens. Not illegal aliens, legal aliens. Swing on up to St. Louis, Little Rock, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Dequeen. Swing on down to Dallas, Longview, Houston, Fort Worth, Arlington, Austin, Galveston, El Paso, San Antonio. Show me the bastion of black power. Show me where you can make a stand. Tell me, where is it? Look at any of those places. Look at how long that list is going. Show me where you're going to make your stand. Show me where there is a welcoming, nurturing environment for you. I'm listening. Swing on over to Phoenix, Las Vegas, Denver, Boulder, Colorado Springs, Utah, LA, San Francisco, San Diego, Sacramento. Go ahead, tell me where. Portland, where? Seattle? I just took you on a trip across the country. We can swing on up to the Dakotas if you want to, if you think you got a safe place there. Minnesota, come on, we can come on over. Wherever you want to go, however you want to do this, come on. Come on and show me. Where is your bastion of black empowerment? Where are we going to make our stand? Show me. Show me who's out there digging and working for black people right now. Show me. And for those of you with children, you should be absolutely mortified. You should be absolutely mortified for those of you with children, because you're the ones who are going to suffer more than anybody else, because you are going to watch a world where your children will be powerless and helpless to do anything for you as their parents. I wonder how many people have thought about that. I wonder how many people have considered that. It's supposed to be your children's job, Mona, to protect you in your old age. It's supposed to be your children's job to get on the city council so that the white city councilmen cannot pass zoning laws to tear down your house and to build freeways over your neighborhoods while they steer around their own. In every black neighborhood in America, they've used freeway system to destroy our neighborhoods. It's the same thing in Shreveport that it is in Compton, that it is in L.A., Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, Jackson, St. Louis, Nashville, The black neighborhood is where they railroad the freeway through. And it's supposed to be your children on your city council who are supposed to prevent that from happening. But when your children are concerned about flopping out their breasts in public, and when we asked about black empowerment, they couldn't be bothered to give a damn, you taught them that. You taught your children to leave you helpless and hopeless in your old age. Because the Asians on the city council and in the state legislature are not going to lift a damn finger to save a black neighborhood. Can we just be honest about that? Black people are literally expecting Asians and Latinos to care more about black people's housing situation than black people do. Literally. Because we do not prepare and groom our children for power. We prepare and groom them for prostitution. And there is not one place on this earth where prostitutes run things. Not one.
Jason, there was a club that there was a couple fights in D.C., and then at the same time there's also a free radio station or a public radio station.
Okay. Gwen, I'm not sure where you are, but it's breaking you up real bad. You might want to ease over toward the window or something, but wherever you're at, the bunker, it is chopping you up real bad. Sound like in Pinocchio when it's on water.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Reception's bad. Yeah, here in D.C., I'm living between Baltimore and D.C., so I get all the news. And there was a radio station that was publicly funded that they were trying to shut down, and it was, I guess, ran by blacks or majority black, something like that, and forget the station, but it might have been WHUR. But then at the same time, there was a club shutting down, a nightclub shutting down, and because there had been a couple fights. And would you believe that black people got together and organized to keep the club open? So they ended up renaming the club, you know, and it's gone through three or four different names, and it's still open. And, I mean, black people called and radio station, they were outside. They bought T-shirts and wearing the club name on it. I mean, I've just never seen people get together and organize like that to keep a nightclub open. And they didn't. They have libraries that I guess they, I don't know if they shut down the libraries or they just move them to a different location, but they're not concerned about keeping a library open at all. I mean, they're not concerned at all about it. But if the club is shutting down, I mean, they'll be on Facebook reminiscing about it, and this is racism because, you know, they want to shut the club down. And they'll talk about the police being racist on Thursday through Saturday night when they're getting, you know, pulled over and arrested for DUI. And they seem to talk about white supremacy then. But when the libraries are being shut down, the teachers aren't being paid, and, and things aren't working the way they should be working, and we don't fight. We don't fight. I don't even see them fight to even want white people or Asians to do it. But, yeah, we expect them to, and then we try to tell them how they're part African or Latinas come from us, and Asians have more African blood than they do white Caucasianoid blood. And, you know, like we need, like we're supposed to have, they're supposed to be loyal to us. And, I mean, a lot of us really have that attitude, and we're not even loyal to each other. You know, we're chasing the Hispanic male, trying to have the Hispanic male's babies. What is that telling him? That's telling him that he's where the power is. He's where the money is. And then we turn around and we want Hispanic people to claim us? I mean, would if you were Hispanic or Asian, would, I mean, I have to think, would I feel any different if I was them? I mean, I'm not sure if they're right or wrong, and does that even matter if they're right and wrong and they're, in their opinion, should that even matter? It shouldn't matter if they care about us or not.
Now I want to make sure
it doesn't matter if we care about them.
I want to make sure what you're saying is that all the breastfeeders, all their co-signers, they didn't show up to keep the radio station open so we could communicate to our people. They didn't show up for the library, but the breastfeeders and the I can walk around the house naked and the hotep hoes, were able to show up so that they could discuss keeping the club open. Now, that they could be bothered to do, but they could not be bothered to discuss something that would actually benefit their children. You see, libraries benefit your children. Libraries benefit your children. A radio station benefits your children. These things help your children. But the breastfeeders and the nipple hoes, they weren't the least bit concerned about what benefits the children. They couldn't be bothered with that. That wasn't going to concern them any. What they were concerned about is, well, can I get some shine? Can I get some attention for this? How much attention can I get for this? And that's why I want to make the point to everybody. Do you understand that we are at war? Do you understand that? That this is a war, and the goal to annihilate us by getting us to adopt our own extinction culture. That's what it's all about. I'm going to bring, let me bring Zara here on the line. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, how are you doing, Mr. Black?
Black First Sister, what's on your mind?
I just thinking about the picture that you guys were talking about earlier today. And just the ridiculousness of it. I mean, she didn't even have the decency to even cover herself. I mean, even to even bring a bottle. And you want to compare yourself to an Egyptian goddess? How was that justification? How are you even going to justify yourself doing that?
Well, that just shows you the absolute disdain and disregard and venom with which they view Africans and being black women. Because the truth is, you don't make statements like that unless you already have disrespect for being a black woman. You don't do things like that unless you already hold being a black woman in incredibly low regard. That's the only reason you would do something like that, is because being a black woman already doesn't mean anything to you. It already means nothing to you. And you want it to mean nothing to everybody else. Being a black woman means being African. And in their minds, being African is permission to be a savage. I don't have to wear any clothes. I don't have to take care of my kids. I can walk around naked. I can sleep with as many men as I want to. Nothing positive or constructive in there. I don't have to build anything. I don't have to create anything for my people. Everything is just me, me, me. You see, a woman does not become a queen by talking about what she gets from other people. A woman becomes a queen by demonstrating what she gives to her people, by demonstrating the standards that she upholds for her people, by being a credit to her people. That's
well,
how
can
you
we say the same thing?
People.
Can we give a definition of being an actual mother? Because a lot of women think that just because they give birth to somebody or to a baby that they are a mother, and that is not the case. It goes into the whole they want a title or of whatever, and they don't deserve that title.
Well, like Jason has said many times, you know, I think a lot of it is tied to, you know, feminism. And Jason is helping me a lot understand things that I think I honestly really try to block out. I think as black women, at least I can speak for myself. And, you know, I'm from a suburban white community, and white communities, I grew up on military bases. And, you know, even I, you know, had developed a black women, you know, we can do it all, but while we can do it all, it always seems that, you know, we're always failing. And so it's just kind of like supporting somebody's potential all of the time, but they never show you results. And I agree with you, Stephanie, the mothering. I had to really look at my friends and say, you don't even pay for anything yourself. You don't even buy your own. You get WIC, food stamps, everything, and you're still complaining. Why isn't your kid the most intelligent kid on the block? You don't work. You don't pay for anything. All you have time to do is teach. But I had to realize
they don't want to teach them kids anything.
And they don't want to. Well, they don't. Well, I had to come to understand that, Stephanie, because I didn't understand how you could have a baby. And, I mean, I don't have kids, but I have children's books that I've got from other people who I nannied for, and they gave me their old stuff, some of their old stuff, and I have that for my children already. I'm ready for reading time. I'm ready for that, and I want that. So I just didn't understand how a mother, forget the father, okay, the father's not there, whatever. Why isn't your child intelligent?
They're rather the TV trying to teach them. And you see what a TV does. And that's one of my other things is, you know, when I look back over the, you know, growing up, the whole feminism thing was all into music and everything else. The whole Cheetah Girls and the Spice Girls and Destiny's Child and all that inundating the girls. And so it can easily bleed over into our lives, and then now, oh, I'm independent and strong and can do this, that, and the third, because when I was a little girl, we had all these little songs and all this stuff.
But see, maybe other women, I don't care about other women. The thing is that maybe other women can do whatever they do, but we got to get back to a place, and I'm talking about we need to be virgins, you know, and that might be extreme to some people, but there is honor in being a virgin in your wedding night, and it has nothing to do with holding you back as a woman. It has everything to do with lifting you up as a woman. I don't care what men are out there doing. Don't marry a man who's had multiple sexual partners. If you're a virgin and you've kept yourself nice and safe and clean, then you don't have to marry a man who's been. Just don't worry about what those men are doing, you know. And we've gotten to a place where we're opening ourselves sexually to men at a very young age, and then we wonder why we don't understand love, and we don't understand trust, and we don't understand commitment. Because that's not what sex is. Sex is not those things. That's sex with your spouse. That's not sex with this guy, this guy, this guy, and then we go around demanding things from random men because we had sex with them, and then we say they're not men because we spend time slamming them, and it's like, well, what are you doing? Why are you?
Well, it's like Jason said, it's whorehouse rules now. We have to switch that up on them.
You know what I? When I do my broadcast, I always talk about virginity. They tell me that's passe, that's old-fashioned. And here's the thing about being a mother. There's a lot of women out here, they're not mothers, they're hosts. Because you've made the wrong choice in your life. You've had an oops baby because it was not planned. And now this child is a burden. And you're trying to make something out of a bad situation. You don't have support of the man. You're not financially secure. This child is a burden, and then they try to say it's a blessing. So as you're trying to support this child and trying to keep a roof over your head. You don't have time for the child. You don't have time to be the mother that's nurturing and that's protective and that wants something better for their child. It's a burden that you try to make into a good situation. Instead of holding yourself until you get that husband, there's a chronological order that we have failed to adhere to, man, woman, and child. When you have a group of women that say, I would rather open my legs and let this man sex me in opposed to taking the time out to get to know a man, because they don't want to take the time out to get to know a man if he's not spending his money on them. I see that all over Facebook. What happened to courting? What happened to getting to know someone? And I try to teach these young ladies, if you take about 6 months to try to see, to get to know this man, you'll probably figure out that you don't even like him, or he figures out he doesn't even like you. But once you have sex, you don't get to know a person. It goes all downhill. We're not sophisticated anymore. We're not classy anymore. A man used to try to undress you with his eyes. He doesn't have to do that. He sees you fully naked. We have no pride in ourselves as women. And we've reduced ourselves to just females and cum dumpsters where men could just come and go in between our legs, and we call that love, and we call that he cares about me. We want something magical, and then he disappears, and we don't understand why. We're not holding ourselves up to a higher standard. So the men are not going to do it. But that's tragic in themselves. Because if the men keep participating in it, what do we have left? Where does the good man go? Where does the good woman go? Where do they find each other at? When everybody is out here just doing all kind of foolishness. We have to stop the single motherhood. We have to stop that. It's not okay. There was a comment about that girl with her breast out. They said, and we're always making these idiotic excuses. Well, some babies don't like the breast pump. Some babies don't like the milk pumped out of the breast in the bottle. It was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And that lets us know that somebody, and it's a lot of us, are going to be left behind. We have to leave them behind.
Well, you know, the thing that really upsets me, and it just irks me so bad, is the fact that just admit that you're wrong. Admit that your situation isn't the best situation. Like, why try to cover it up or try to be like, you shouldn't judge me or what? Just admit it. I screwed up. This is what I'm doing to try to make it better. This is what I'm doing to try to improve my child's life and my life as well. Admit it. But no, they try to cover it up with different things. Just like the I was reading earlier with the kid, that the 10-year-old that called, and the dad was online trying to defend. Just admit it. But you just go on and on and try to cover up what you did and make excuses for yourself instead of just being like, okay, this happened, and this is what I'm doing to move on and to try to correct the situation the best way that I know how.
Absolutely. And there was a post I read today. I don't know who this young lady was, but she must have been going through a custody battle with her children's father. And she said, I lost custody of my children. I failed. But when the comments came in, not even knowing the situation, oh, don't be so hard on yourself. Oh, it's okay. Oh, you did the best that you could. She said, I lost. I was not a good parent to my children. And no one addressed that. They just sugarcoat. We're a group of sugarcoaters.
But you know what, Mona, my fear is, those kids were taken, but is she going to produce more kids and put them in the situation that the father who actually was a man going to put them in, you know?
I have no idea, Stephanie, but I knew that young lady was crying out. And the comments that she got didn't meet the situation.
And you know what? You all are right, because I, you know, personally, I've been through things. I'm sure we all have. And I've been through things where I've talked to people, and sometimes even women a little older than me, and I was crying out, you know, and maybe I wasn't saying I need help or help me. Maybe I didn't know how to say that, but maybe I was explaining a situation, and women would co-sign it, you know. I mean, oh, it's just him, or it's just that, or it's just her, or it's just this. And it's, you know, and people really didn't even hold me, black women, you know, a lot of times didn't hold me responsible for the things that I was doing. And I wasn't doing anything to the gravity of the babies and sex and stuff, but just maybe, you know, the dressing and things like that. And like you said earlier, Mona, about parents being strict and how people, you know, I used to get into it with my parents, and because I had a lot of friends and they had single mothers, or they just maybe didn't have families that were together. And they used to be able to do so much more than me. And I used to be around that on my basketball team and in summer camp and stuff like that. And I used to complain to my parents, well, you guys don't want me to do anything, and you don't let me do anything, and I'm not a little girl. And it really, you know, for years went on. And I just did not understand that a lot of these women went on to have one, two, three, you know, five babies even, and aren't really doing well. But it was just I had so many people against, you know, the good parenting. And I can see how that would wear someone down, but you have to be, you know, strong. And thank God I had parents who were strong and stuck to their beliefs, you know. But there's parents who don't even try. So they're not even going to be able to protect their kids from anything. And the person who Jason was talking to, the 10-year-old boy, both of his parents kept passing the blame. Neither one of them. And I was very surprised at how Jason handled the call. I think he was very, very nice with the woman, because the woman was just out of control. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I just felt so bad for her child. And I think Jason was very polite, and I guess, you know, he has his own reasons for doing that. I think you're trying to reach her, really, because she really needs some help. And when you have two parents who are just going back and forth, well, if he don't have the $600, then I guess I don't have the $600. What does that mean? What do you, you know, you're willing to forfeit your child's future day by day because you're competing to see who can give the child less?
If people that listened to that broadcast and did not understand why we have to shut down single motherhood, something is wrong with your brain. When I heard that young lady speak, she was frustrated. She was in a bad situation, and she was trying to do the best that she could, and she was not getting any support from the father. They're fighting with one another. And I believe that when you have sex that produces a child that neither one of you are prepared for, you destroy three lives, yours, your child's, and the man's. That's a selfish act. When you're not responsible with your body, it's a selfish act. So she was just frustrated. And she has a little boy. And we keep on saying we can raise boys into men. We cannot do it. We can't. We don't know that part. We are women. We don't know how a man is. We don't know that part. And so there's a lot of frustration there. And that gets used against the child. Mm-hmm. When I'm frustrated and I can't figure out how to do this, and this little boy is on my nerves, and I don't have any support system, the neglect and the abuse, the drinking and the drugging and everything comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's definitely yeah. Why we need to bring marriage back, because this is not working. You have to try to work and support each other. And it's just, you know, one person in the household, and it goes back to what Gwen was saying, and that whole, you know, we need that structure in order for the kids to have structure. Because I know when I sit and think about it, it's like, okay, I know that, you know, if I'm ever to get married or whatever, if the guy proposed to me or whatever, then I'm going to have to sit down with him and be like, okay, I need you to make sure that I do this, this, and this. Because I know as a woman, I can be overly, I guess, you know, like protective. And so I would need for him to be like, okay, Stephanie, we agreed to do this and this, and you're not doing that. Like, to hold me accountable, it's like, the way I see it, the husband and wife, it's like accountability partners. You know, like, okay, we discussed this, and you're not following through. And when it's a single mother, I don't see where that could happen except through a friend or whatnot. But like I said, that's another woman, and she might be like, oh, girl, it's okay. Don't worry about it, and just trying to calm her down emotionally instead of being like, look, this is the way it needs to be, and it's for the better. It's for, you know, it's what's best for your children.
They'll fight you, you know. A woman
cannot replace a man as far as balance. There's a special balance that a man brings to the equation. My son was, I had my son in my 7th month. He came home, he was 1 pound, 14 ounces. He didn't get to come home until he was 3 pounds. He came home on a heart monitor. I stayed in the hospital with my son and slept in the hospital. And he cried for like 20 hours out of 24 hours. So when we finally got to bring him home, here's my son's father getting dressed to go to the club. And I'm like, hey, I need some sleep. And this is a true story. I was watching Oprah Winfrey, and the lady said that she was so frustrated that she was going to put her child in the clothes hamper and just let the baby's cry just die out. And at that moment in time, I could understand that, and I could relate to that because I was so frustrated that my son had been crying, and I couldn't relieve him. But I was weak. And here I was out reaching out to this man, and he's going out the door. It'll be okay. And I could see myself putting my baby in that clothes hamper so he can shut up. Single motherhood does not work. You need that man as a balance. Where I'm weak, he's strong. Where he gets a little weak, I get strong. We have each other's back. We need that. We are destroyed because of that.
And I can tell you, I mean, I try to talk to different women, you know, married women and stuff, because I'm nosy like that. But, I mean, and, you know, you ask them about postpartum and whatnot, and they'll tell, I mean, several times I've asked married women, and they just, like, they'll be at home with the baby, you know, less than 6 weeks or whatever, and they just feel like they've had enough. And a lot of times when the husband calls, they're like, you know, you need to get home now. And then, like, when the husband walks in the door, they're like, I was walking out the door. And it's been several women who just been like, sometimes you just got to get away, and you just need him to be there. And so, yeah.
Well, I'm a nanny, and I had twins one time, and they were about 1 year old, and I know the way Mona, I don't know the way Mona feels, but I just, even as a nanny, and the things that they would do, they would play in their diapers, and they just do this annoying, disgusting things because they're babies. And I know there's plenty of times that I've had to go in the bathroom and cry, and these weren't my kids. But it was so frustrating dealing with it. So, I mean, Mona, thanks for saying what you said. I think that is so important. And, you know, I think that you were, you know, trying to do your best. A lot of women out here, unfortunately, don't even care to have any feelings about not doing their best, you know. And I think that it is normal that women will go through that sometimes. But what you say about raising a boy is very true. I mean, it's just mannerisms. My mother-in-law is a teacher, and she told me that boys now, she teaches in Atlanta, Marietta County, so she said that boys now are sitting down using the bathroom, so they have to put up more stalls because they're not using the urinals. So boys, and when she told me that, I didn't get the connection. I was just like, why are boys sitting down all of a sudden, you know? And she told me, well, you know, it's because a lot of boys are being raised by women. And that's when we have to understand that it's not just teaching a boy to throw a ball or teaching him to speak in a deep voice or teaching him that he has a penis. It's everything that you do. It's the way you hold your hand, the way you pick your nails, the way you roll your neck, or, you know, everything. The way you do everything is what a man needs to learn from another man. Because
Absolutely.
I tell you, that's
Absolutely.
Very feminine to me. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because now that you think of it, I'm thinking back to that young lady that said she lost her children. She said her husband said that her 9-year-old son didn't know how to use the bathroom correctly. So you're absolutely correct. And here's the thing. When I look in the Jet magazine, my favorite part is the part where there's weddings. And you see a couple that's been together 30 and 40 and 50 years, and they're celebrating their anniversary, and they begin to look alike. And when I talk to my clients, and I'm like, I want to have a husband. I want to have a husband. They don't even have the – they don't even say, girl, you don't want no husband. You're fine by yourself. You don't want that. They don't even encourage you. And I'm a 54-year-old woman. They don't even encourage you to be married. It's just tragic all across the board. You don't want that. That's a burden. But you got it. You're not trying to go nowhere. You're not trying to go out here and be in this single dating pool. You're not.
Mm.
We have nobody stepping up to the plate for anything. Nobody.
You know, Mona, I say that to my friends.
I just think as black women always constantly competing with each other. It's one reason we never help out, you know, or it's always some ulterior motives, like, you know, maybe I can take her man.
I think that there is a lot of competition and just backstabbing. I think that's what a lot of black woman relationships actually are. And I think we are at the point where we just kind of know that. It's just a known fact that when we're together, someone's going to sleep with someone's man, someone's going to talk about someone. So we just kind of expect that. And, I mean, I want to ask Mona and all of you, because I have single friends, and when they tell me they want to get married, what should you say? Because sometimes I do say, oh, well, you know, you're fine. I don't want them not to get married, but what's the appropriate you should support them dating, or say, you know, oh, I'm going to find help you, or, you know, like what is a supportive way to speak on that issue? Because you don't want them to feel lonely, you know? I mean, you know, I never thought of it the way Mona was saying it, you know? I don't want to deter them, but...
Well, are they actually dating, or like?
Well, my friends that may be single moms or just single women
looking for someone, or.
Well, they think they are. I don't know really what they're doing, but they're going out and making themselves available. We'll say, and they want to get they want to get married, Stephanie, but they don't want to be they don't know how to be a wife, but they genuinely do want to be a wife. You know, they want to be someone's wife. Do they know how to be one? I don't believe so. But that's not, you know, you don't, it's just really hard to talk to a lot of women about that, as I'm sure all of you probably know. You can't correct, I have women friends who go out and dress like total whores. I'm not even talking about sexy or revealing. I'm talking about prostitutes, okay? Prostitutes. And they go out, and then they meet a man, and then they expect him to be, I don't know, a prince or something, or I'm not sure what they think, you know. I don't know what they think, but I tell them on the first, I'll meet him a day later and say, no, girl, leave him alone, just leave him alone or whatever, or just let him take you out to dinner or whatever. But no, I mean, and then they give up the sex, and then the sex will get them a lot of times. The sex will get, because when women have sex, especially black women, I think we think that this is like the end of the world or something, or the earth is stopped for us or something, as if we're the only people who get good sex. Or, you know, it's something in there, because we are really, when we have sex with a man, that he's ours. He ain't going anywhere.
Well,
it's not a
it's
ring.
The emotional attachment.
Yeah.
You are emotionally attached at that point.
You know, first of all, you have to ask, what do they believe, what is their definition of being a wife? And secondly, how are they preparing themselves for that? Because my father told me that once I get married, my life is not my own. I have to cater to my husband. And if I'm not willing to cater to that husband, we're going to have problems. So when you have a group of women that their careers come first and they still want to be single and be in a relationship, there's problems. My father said if you have a job that prevents you from catering to that man on call, you need to not have that job, or you need to get a part-time job, because that man comes first. You represent that man. And we have so many women out here, they don't want to be submissive, or they think a man is trying to punt them. They don't want to be under that authority or that protection. They want it to appear that way, but they don't want to be submissive. If you are a submissive woman, that man will give you the world. They don't understand that, and there's no role models for that, because we're so combative and we're so argumentative. So
well,
that's
don't,
what
and,
I would...
They're ready to be submissive when it no longer matters. They're ready to be submissive after the third or fourth bastard baby, after you got your breasts flopped out in the graduation photo, after your stretch marks are looking like Freddy Krueger's face, they're ready to be submissive when there are no other options. They're ready to be submissive then. They don't want to be submissive when it counts, when you are most desired, when it will be most advantageous to the man. They want to be Susie Homemaker when it's most advantageous to them, not when it's most advantageous to the man and to the relationship. Up until that moment, man, let these draws fly. And that's exactly what they do with the chick who called in the other day with her son on my phone. I asked her about the men in her family. You got two men. That's it. Two. Four women, two men. And the one male who is the father might as well not even be there. And you are telling me that, explain to me, how does this boy grow up to be a man with no male role model at all? What has he seen? What he has seen is that fatherhood is optional. I can have children, but I don't have to take care of them. I don't have to be there. I don't have to spend any money on them. How many of us have heard some black male sit up and say, why should I do that? My father didn't. Why do I have to be there? My dad wasn't. I turned out all right. Obviously, you didn't turn out all right. Look how jaded and cynical you are. You have a 10-year-old who is seeing that fathers do not come to basketball games. They don't pay for your karate classes. They don't show up for fifth grade continuances. They don't do the potty training. Dad is somebody who shows up once or twice every other month. That's what dad is. And this is how you end up on Facebook with a gang of females watching another female say, my kids got taken. They're co-signing, but they don't even know what they're co-signing. She may have been, did she tell you that, by the way, I threw scalding hot water on one of the children? Did she say, by the way, two of my kids got out of the house in 32 degrees, 3-foot snow? Oh, yeah, it was the third time it happened. Did she say that I'm smoking crack? You are co-signing and supporting, and you do not even know why. And we all know that the courts are stacked against the men. So if the man did get custody of this child, what was going on? Are you even trying to find out? Because every black woman wants to pretend that she's Ruby Dee, that she's Cicely Tyson. They spend half their time spitting on these women and the other time, half of the time trying to get the respect of those women. You got to pay the cop to be the boss. This is not a gift that you are given at birth. You got to earn this. Black womanhood is something you earn, not something you're given. It's not a Christmas gift. You earn the right to claim black womanhood. You earn that. You earn that through what you do, what you give. No woman ever became a queen laying on her back. Somebody needs to explain that little concept because your mammy didn't do it. No woman ever became a queen laying on her back. Flopping out her breast did not determine her queenness. And we had guys sitting up here talking about African queen. Don't you know that's programming? Let me explain something to you dumb hoes out there. Oh, I'm not supposed to say it like that. Well, I did. Let me explain something to you dumb hoes out there. People understand the power of word association. You understand the power of association. You see, for men, the advertising companies understand that. That's why Budweiser is the king of beers. You know why? Because for 30 years, they put their beer cans between a blonde woman's silicone breasts. For 30 years, that was what Budweiser did. The fictional Swedish bikini team. And every other blonde bombshell they could find. She had blonde hair. She had giant, outrageous-sized breasts. And their beer cans were right
in the middle, right there. So to men, what did that associate? Budweiser, pretty sex. Budweiser, sex. That was the association that they made. And guess what? It worked. Fast forward, black females today. So you don't respond to shouty what your name is, but she will respond to, oh, pretty African priestess. And he has associated that. You can get the pretty African priestess compliment if you flop your breasts out. And you ask yourself, who would be dumb enough to fall for that? Go take a look at that picture and who is co-signing it. The answer is plenty of them are dumb enough to fall for it. They have associated queen with flopping your breasts out. And there was one guy who was saying it. I went to his page, his latest post. I'm not joking. His latest post was some booty model with her ass turned around. So he's on that picture talking about African priestess, and the booty chick is over on his page. These women are so dense and gullible today that they don't even recognize when they're being played for a fool.
Exactly.
That's association. And they are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And that is why I want to know who is going to stand up for Ruby Dee as we commemorate this woman's life. Who are the young black women who are going to pick up the mantle of Ruby Dee and Betty Shabazz and Coretta Scott King and Ida B. Wells and all the others? Who's going to pick up Sojourner Truth's mantle and carry that for her? Who's going to do that? You're going to flop your breasts out? That's carrying the mantle? Really? You're going to sit up here and say that showing your ass makes you a queen? We need some black women who are going to sharpen their blades and braid up their hair and grab their shields and go into battle. That's what the hell we need today. We need black women who are going to reclaim respect for black womanhood, not through their words, but through their actions, through their deeds, through what they demand for themselves. That's what we need today. That's what we're looking for today. Who is going to claim our black African womanhood with their actions? Because, you see, a man cannot teach a woman how to be a woman. A man cannot teach grown-ass female how to be a lady. That's not our place. That's not our place. It is not our place to teach females how to be ladies. That is the place of other females. That was why you all saw when that fellow was on my phone. The girl was on my phone, and I let her have it. But when he got on the phone, I made what I said to her look pretty in comparison. And you all remember what I told him, because you are a black male, and you are the reason that the rest of the world has such a damn low opinion of us. And I said, I don't want to hear nothing about that female. Because as a man, you are held to standard that you create the standard. You don't sit up here and look high behind some female skirt. Talking about I didn't uphold the standard because the female wouldn't let me. I held him to a standard. For her, I told her what she was doing wrong. For him, I held him to a standard. It is my place as a man to tell another man what he's doing wrong in being a man. I didn't give her any advice on keeping her son, custody, nothing else. For him, I told him what you are supposed to have done. That is a man holding another man to a standard, not giving a suggestion, telling him this is what you were supposed to do. Somebody's got some noise on their line there, but I held him to a standard. And as black women, that's why I'm doing this broad. I wasn't even going to do a broadcast tonight, but I had to. I know that picture has been out there for like a week or so. I know that. But when Facebook closed my, well, they deleted the Jason Black account. Actually, they disabled it, but I'm not going to try to get them to reactivate it because I really think that they're trolling for information is what that's really about. But in any case, the Black Authority account is up and going. You know, we're down like maybe 1,000 followers, but that's about it. But in any case, the Black Authority page is up and rolling. And, you know, the freight train rolls on. But one of the people who had followed me over from Jason Black had put that picture up. One of those people had put that picture up. And that was yesterday. You wait until I establish this account to put that up. And then Ruby Dee dies. And I'm like, you know what? I wasn't going to say anything before, but I got to say something now. I cannot let this slide. I won't let this slide. Somebody has got to stand the hell up and do something and speak the truth unapologetically because these people are a 24-hour-a-day walking advertisement against us. They spend all day of every day working against us. And it's time that that dies. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the broadcast here because it's going to cut y'all off in a few moments. But ladies, I'll let all of y'all have the last word. Stephanie?
All I can say is that we are definitely in an uphill battle. We're trying to fight off people who, I mean, the negative images, when you look at all the stuff that is being shared on Facebook and social media, it is negative images of us, and a lot of these people don't even have jobs, so we have to make a conscious effort to go against the grain on this at first.
And I would just like to say that I would like for more women like myself, Stephanie and Mona, and a lot of the others that follow you and all over the world to start communicating with each other, and let's stop ourselves when we start to bicker, and let's get rid of that stereotypical negative attitude that a lot of us carry around at different levels, and let's be sisters, and let's show these other women out here how it's done. Black first.
I would say that we do have to address these posts as we see them, and we have to stop ignoring them and absolutely say, this is not my sister. This is not how I want to be depicted or stereotyped. Black first.
I just think it's time that we as black women show some type of sisterhood with each other. Black first.
You're absolutely correct. You do need to show sisterhood, but at the same time, we need to understand what sisterhood is. The sisterhood of failure, the sisterhood of whores, the sisterhood of prostitution, the sisterhood of the whorehouse rule. That has to die. That has to die now. That has to die. You see, she's not your sister. If everybody in town has done run through her, that's not your sister. She's not your sister if she is not an upstanding role model for her children and for African womanhood. That's not your sister. If she's not upholding decency and honor, that's not your sister. If she's not representing you well and bringing respect to the name of black woman, that's not your sister. Tonight, as we remember Ruby Dee and understand what she gave us an image and a vision of what black women used to be and what they can be again. And I want everyone to dedicate themselves to the task of living up to the example that she set, especially you as black women. And I want all of us to remember to help us to do that. Go to our website, 7ammovie.com, I want us to blow the doors off this thing. Let's show them that we're not going to back down. Let's show them that we are on the march. Let's show them that black empowerment and black intelligence, the 21st century is going to be the century of black empowerment's return. And it's going to be the beginning of the renaissance of intelligent black womanhood. Do it for us. Do it for yourselves. Do it for a proud, courageous, brave, wonderful woman named Ruby Dee. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. We will be back tomorrow. Same black time, same black channel. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.